is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside the one and only Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonatoni with you. We're coming to you from coast to coast as always. I'm here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Michael out there at his office in Jersey. Lots to get to over the course of the next 2 hours, including a couple of great guests. Harry Gagnon is going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes, host of the Against All Odds podcast. You know, he's locked and loaded with picks for the day. And Adam Burke in hour two, VSiN managing editor. He put together this entire NFL betting guide that we have been dissecting and breaking down over the course of the last week. Get his favorite bets and some things that'll be interesting if you haven't gotten the guide yet to check out. But welcome in, Michael. How are we doing this morning? How's everything?
We are good. Are you ready for the 4th of July?
Always.
I mean, I can't wait. It's what, 248th year? Yeah, that's right. 248. That's, we're going to celebrate the 248th anniversary. You know, so it'll be awesome. And it's always a good time. The weather's incredible. I know it's super hot there in Vegas for you, but the weather on the East Coast is great. So we're all, life is good, Stormy. Can't complain.
I
got
think,
grandkids running around my house. It's awesome.
I think the weather here tomorrow, actually, I mean, it's going to be hot, obviously, but not too bad. But then Monday, I guess we're going to have some sort of record high heat. So wish me luck then. I will be certainly staying inside and just hoping my air conditioner hasn't broken yet. But no, I'm good. And so last night, I told you after we got off the show yesterday, I was going to go to the Fever Aces game, and I did, and that was an experience. It was awesome. But I wanted to come home, and the first thing on my radar when I was done was to turn on Hard Knocks and watch what transpired eventually in episode one of the Giants Hard Knocks. And especially for the two of us who have talked so much about this Giants team and the contract with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and how everything transpired, I was so interested to peel back the curtain and see kind of what happened behind the scenes during that time earlier this offseason. What did you take away from watching some of the action last night?
Well, I thought they did a really good job of peeling back the curtain. I mean, you know, they start out with, you get Joe Shane right there and, you know, talking about everything. I thought it was, look, I think the one thing that I took away immediately from it was there's a sense in there that Daniel Jones is a good player, that he's just been unfortunate for 3 years. And when Shane was talking about, well, we got to do everything to protect him and protect ourselves, I didn't realize Drew Locke was that guy to protect yourself. Like, to me, there's a disconnect. And I felt like, look, that they all understand it. They all know they got to do a better job of protecting the quarterback. But there was a sense, and I would love to hear your commentary on this, that there was a stronghold that somewhere on some tape that I can't find, that Daniel Jones has played above the line. Which I can't find that tape. I don't see it. Never averaged over 7 yards per attempt. He's the only quarterback in NFL history that's got $100 million and hasn't thrown for 3,500 yards in a season or 25 touchdowns. Like, they act like if he's healthy, we're going to be really good. And I'm missing that. And so for me, that was a hard thing to understand and get my arms around and get to that. The other part, Stormy, is always what I think is a little bit of a disconnect. And this is one of the great franchises of all time. They really are. And this is a franchise that believed in a system, believed in a process by the great George Young, that have kind of deviated away from it. And when they brought, you know, Shane Bowen in, the defensive coordinator, right, that when they brought him in, and they said, what are you looking for in your defense? That goes against pretty much everything the Giants, that when they were successful, believed in. Because the Giants, you know, when Bill Parcells went from the linebacker coach to defense coordinator, he didn't say, this is what we're going to do. The system was in place for what to do. And then when he went to head coach and then Bill Belichick took over as defense coordinator, Bill didn't say, this is what we're going to do. The system was in place for what we're going to do. It was system predicated to the grading system. And I think that's a real missing link here for the Giants on both sides of the ball. They've gone through so many coaches. They've gone through so many staffs that the staffs are now instituting the philosophical nature of the company. And that's when companies often fail.
And you even saw Brian Daboll in that big meeting say, well, Isaiah Simmons, where do you see him fitting into this? And so that question was asked. And for somebody like me, and I'm sure a lot of the people that were watching Hard Knocks and seeing some of those meetings for the very first time, I always assumed, and you understand that those conversations are being had, I didn't realize they were being had in a room of 20 people, and it's essentially like a PowerPoint presentation of what you're looking for. So that was very unique to me to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that that is kind of unique. Look, I mean, you know, the great novel, Renegade, novel, his name is, he's a philosoph, he's an entrepreneur, a brilliant man. And he has a great line. He says, if you want to make a bad decision, ask a lot of people. Mm. And that's what I was thinking about when watched that room. I mean, you know, when you've got that many people involved in decision making, you're going to make a bad decision. You got too many opinions. You know, there should be a pyramid of opinions, right? There should be people that get the opinions generated, and then they go to another level and they get sorted out. Then they go to a third level and get sorted out. And then it gets to the decision maker to make it. But when you have that many people coming in with different opinions, and what I found in there is they really don't know who they are. They don't know what a giant player is. Like, to me, that's the biggest problem that I took away from it. What is a giant player? Like, who are we? You know, what is our identity? Like, you can't get that from Shane Bowen. You can't get that from Mike Kafka. You know, you have to have an identity from who you are as a team. They've been through, you know, they've been through Ben McAdoo. They've been through Pat Shurmur. They've been through Joe Judge. And now they're on Brian Daboll. They don't know who they are. And if you don't know who you are, how the hell do you find players out there that can fix it? And so, like, it's just, to me, it was a very much about, and I don't want to sound like I know more than anybody, but it was about, we're picking players here. We're just picking players here. You know, there was no real conversation about what wins in the league, because the Giants had that formula for years. What won in the league were dominant front seven players, two defensive tackles that could stop the run, offensive tackles that could protect and dominate the line of scrimmage. I mean, that goes for time immemorial. But we lost that. That conversation was more about items, line items, and different things. So, you know, it's great for fans to look into. But if you're wondering why they're not being successful, I think it's because they don't have an overall philosophical belief in who they are as a football team. This is who we are. Like, and no guy's going to walk in here off the street from Tennessee and tell us, like, this is what we're going to do. No, you're going to do what we do. This is going to be here long before you're here.
And I think that's why there are so many people that are questioning the Giants 2 years ago when Brian Daboll wins Coach of the Year and they have that 9-win season and they do XYZ, that was a flash in the pan based on the schedule that they had and a quarterback that was largely staying healthy. Now reality has set in the last 2 years. And Daniel Jones, not only from a skill set standpoint, there being questions, but the health part, huge. And you mentioned some of those quotes from Joe Shane about protection. We have that sound. Let's play it.
The reality is facts.
Yeah.
Three serious injuries in 2 years.
Yeah.
We need to protect ourselves. He didn't have much of a chance this year. That's legit. Yeah. Nobody could. Like, you could have Pat Mahomes and he can't win it behind that. Yeah. I'm not giving up on, like, yeah. He's under contract for 3 more years. Just protecting ourselves, because best predictor of the future is the past.
I know that line at the end is one of your favorites.
Well, you know, but see, I think what he misses the boat completely on is the quarterback protects the line. The quarterback protects the line. You can't get a worse line than San Francisco has. Purdy gets rid of the ball. I mean, Trent Williams is great, just like Andrew Thomas is great, but the rest of the 49 line isn't very good when they have to drop back and throw the football. When they can run play action, they're really good. So to me, Aaron Rodgers is going to make the Jets' offensive line much better. Great quarterbacks make it. I mean, you know, I was in New England. We had in 2015, we did not have a good line. We lost a lot of guys. Brady got hit. You know, we beat Denver if our line's better that day. But it wasn't. But Brady was still able. Great quarterbacks overcome a bad line. So if your quarterback's great, he can still make plays. Pat Mahomes would have put him in the playoffs if he's in New York, even behind that line. The ball would have come out. Look, his line in Kansas City wasn't so great. Jawan Taylor's lined up like a wing on a punt team. You know, they couldn't block anybody at left tackle. The guards got hurt. But they made it work because they ran the football. So I disagree with that. And I think, to me, it's this whole thing. If you believe in past performance, predict future achievement, which is what Joe said, then you got to look at the numbers and say, we got no chance to win with Daniel Jones. He's never averaged over 7 yards per attempt down the field. He's never done it. We've never thrown the ball. Like, we've never – there's been no level – there's no tape I can put on to watch and say, okay, there it is. If we can get this, we're going to be really good.
Michael, and some of the – that's why some of the stuff with the Saquon Barkley conversation was so interesting, watching it all unfold, because you have people talking to Joe Shane saying, like, I'm just confused on if we don't have Saquon, what we're going to do, because he is our offense. He is our yards. He, like, all of those touchdowns, they're coming from Saquon. And you had the comment from Joe Shane saying, you're paying Daniel Jones $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. And so they are clearly invested in Daniel Jones and asking the question of, can we we have to figure out if he's the guy. It's not a question. It's a definite statement. We have to figure out if he's the guy. You and I have already decided he's not. So that's why it's a little bit concerning that inside the organization, they haven't gotten to that point.
Yeah. I mean, look, look again, all this is great in theory. If you don't evaluate, you're in trouble. If you don't evaluate, you're in trouble correctly. And so, like, I disagree with their evaluation of Daniel Jones. I disagree with it when they won 9 games. He wasn't the reason they won. Remember, there's a rule that I believe in completely. Why did we win? Why did we lose? And they did not win because of Daniel Jones. And now it's even more clearer to you and to I, the reason they paid Daniel was they thought he was the reason they won. They didn't think it was Barkley. Like, they just let Barkley walk out of the building as if he was nothing. And they had to know Philly was going to sign him. We all knew Philly was going to sign him. We knew it was between Houston and Philly. That whole conversation, do we franchise him? Can we trade him? To me, that I think it made them look like they didn't know what was going on in the league.
It was there again. That's just one of so many nuggets from behind the scenes with the New York Giants that I found so interesting. I hope every episode is like this. I still have a lot more questions about this. We'll get on a little bit later on in the show from your perspective. But when we come back, time for a little No Way, No Doubt. The Giants will be involved, but they're not the only headlines around the National Football League we got to get to. We'll be right back.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. The guide's your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends, and so much more, including, of course, our experts and analysts sharing their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need ahead of the year. But in order to get the guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And for a limited time, our usual deal, $240 right now, if you sign up using the promo code Lombardi, $199, and we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do. In addition to the guide, you get the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and everything that we have to offer here at VSiN. Don't miss out. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Use that promo code Lombardi. Gets you 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199.
Disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubts. No doubt my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
Might as well pick up where we left off in segment one. A year after winning a playoff game, the New York Giants went 6-11 this past season with their starting quarterback, Daniel Jones, playing just a handful of games before tearing his ACL. This season, their win total is set at 6.5. No way or no doubt, Michael, Jones and the Giants will improve upon last year's 6-win season.
You know, they get 6 last year and they were bad. I'm going to say no way they get to 7 because I don't see the improvement, right? Like, I don't see where they've gotten better. I thought last year they were able to make some plays with their blitzing package from Don Martindale, who in the series they just dismissed as he left. You know, Dexter Lawrence is a fabulous player. We'll see if he and Brian Burns can team up. But I think what I'm worried about is this is a team that was the lowest scoring team in the league, the lowest in Giants since 1979. And where are they going to get their points from? How are they going to become more explosive? Yes, Neighbors is a good player, but I still don't think they have a quarterback. It's hard for me to visualize a team that can win 7, 8, 9 games without a quarterback.
And to add on to that, Michael, when Jones started this past season, 1-5 in games he started, 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The Giants averaged just 11.3 points per game in those games. The offense failed to score a first half touchdown in any of them. Just like, keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. The win total, by the way, is juiced to the under 6.5, minus 135 if you think they can get 7+ wins. Plus 115, the price. You mentioned neighbors, star wide receivers all over the place appear to be getting paid as they as the new market has been set. Tyreek Hill trying to get in on the action. He said earlier this week, we discussed it yesterday, he's excited to see where he fits with his own updated deal in the near future. No way or no doubt, Tyreek Hill's next deal will make him the highest paid wideout in the league once again.
Well, I think Miami knows they got to deal with it, right? He's got a $45 million last year of his contract that's not guaranteed. So maybe they'll move money from that year into this year and pay him, give him $10 million extra and not change the year, not change any of the years, give it to him in a signing bonus and spread it out. But in terms of a long-term deal, I don't know if they're going to do that, but I do think they're going to adjust. They have to adjust his deal this year, else they're really going to jeopardize their whole season.
Yeah. Obviously an important piece and a key cog for Tua Tagovailoa to have success at the quarterback position, and he led the league in receiving yards a season ago. Let's go to the NBA, where Paul George was the biggest free agent fish available this offseason. As soon as free agency hit, he ends up going to your Philadelphia 76ers, joining Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. No way or no doubt, the 76ers team will be the best roster in the Joel Embiid era. And I know health is always a concern, Michael, but the question on paper, what do we think?
You know, I don't think it is. I think that team, when, of course, this is when Ben Simmons was playing half decent and Jimmy Butler was there with Tobias Harris. I think that team was really good. I think that team was, you know, Embiid got hurt. He had to play again. But that was a team that had advanced in the playoffs. I think this team's going to have a hard time beating. That team was younger. It was more athletic. It was long. You know, the problem with the 76ers today is their two guards are going to be 6'2"-ish, right? Maxey's 6'2", McCain's 6'2". So they're not a big, long team. So I think it's that team with Butler that they let get away, that was their best team.
While the Boston Celtics are a plus 295 favorite to repeat as title winners, the Philadelphia 76ers are now the second shortest shot at 8-1, and in the Eastern Conference as well, leapfrog the Knicks at plus 400. In an article by The Athletic, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan said of his star running back Christian McCaffrey, "We have to protect Christian from himself." Said he doesn't like to ever come out no matter what the situation is, and I do think it's something we could protect him with more. You'd like to take some of that off of him and give it to other guys also. No way or no doubt, Christian McCaffrey needs to be protected from himself in this San Francisco offense.
No doubt. There's no doubt about that. And I think Kyle's smart enough to know, and Christian's got to be smart enough to know that with the new contract he just received, that it's about being healthy and ready in December and January than it is being perfect in September. And they're going to have to rely on, if Elijah Mitchell's healthy, that'll be certainly good. You know, they drafted the kid from Louisville, Isaiah Garrido, in the 4th round this year. And then they got that kid from Missouri who they say looks really good for them, you know, as another running back to come in there. And, you know, one thing about them, they always find players somewhere down the line. So I think, to me, there's no question that they're going to be able to kind of lower the snap count for him, if you will, but also keep him fresh for the game. I keep waiting for him to use him more in the passing game early in the season and then late in the season in the run game.
So with that in mind, Michael, from a betting perspective, he is the plus 275 favorite to lead the league in rushing yards. He's the second shortest shot to repeat as offensive player of the year at plus 750. We talk so much in the betting community about not only picking guys in certain markets, but eliminating players to help make the decision a little bit easier. For certain things like that, like to lead the league in rushing yards, for example, is that something where you say, let's just look elsewhere because his touches are going to be a little bit different this season?
Great question. Great question, Stormy. I wouldn't touch him because I think Kyle doesn't want him to lead the league in rushing. You know, I mean, they paid him as if he will, but they don't really care if he does, right? It's about being healthy in December. And you don't want to give up your team in October. You got to be smart, you know. You got to be careful how you play the game, and you got to be really good at understanding when you need to be at your strength. And leading the league in rushing comes with problems. I mean, there's only the great Derrick Henry that can keep carrying the football and not look like it has affected him at all in terms of 300 carries, whereas Christian will. So I would never play anything in the run game on McCaffrey to lead the league. I maybe in rushing touchdowns, but that would be it. I would do everything in the passing game in terms of that.
Rushing touchdown set at 10.5, and it is minus 120 to the over. His rushing yards, 1,150.5. But to your point about the receiving yards, over under 500.5 receiving yards. See if he's utilized more ultimately in the pass game, as you referenced. Let's stay in the NFC. New Packers running back Josh Jacobs spoke to NFL Network this week about his new young quarterback in Jordan Love. Said, quote, "To me, just from what I've seen, he has all the traits and all the tools to be a superstar in this league. I think that as he keeps continuing to play and getting experience, he becomes more confident in his abilities and what he can do. He's going to be a superstar in this league for sure." Okay, he said for sure. So to you, Michael, no way or no doubt, Jordan Love is a future NFL superstar.
I'm not sure on that. I need more data. I mean, look, here's what I have trouble with, and I understand why fans think I'm crazy about this, but when you really understand the game, the first part of the season, they did a really good job of protecting Jordan Love. They did not want Jordan Love to beat him. Remember, the Raiders beat him at home. The second half of the season, they let Love play a little bit more, but this is the same quarterback that went into New York and lost, that lost the next week at home to Tampa Bay. And so I need more of a sample size. Like, yes, it was a strong game against Dallas. Yes, it was a strong three quarters against the 49ers. But the fourth quarter, we couldn't complete. And then midway through the third quarter and into the fourth, we didn't do anything offensively, Jordan Love. We lose sight of that, you know? And I think to me, it's about when are you playing your best? You know, it's like all these teams, right? You look at the NBA and you look at the amount of money of players that they gave to different players that are making enormous amounts of money that didn't get to the conference finals. You know, are you really satisfied with that? I mean, you got to really, to say you're a superstar, you got to perform in the clutch. And I'm not sure I could say that yet about Jordan Love. Do I like him? Yeah, I do. If I was the GM, I think it's a hard contract to do because you're paying a little bit on the come. You're not paying on what you've seen.
Yeah, and that's a no doubt. We're still trying to figure out who Jordan Love is in his entirety. One last thing here real quickly. A jury in U.S. District Court recently ordered the NFL to pay nearly $4.8 billion in damages after ruling the league violated antitrust laws for their Sunday ticket package. Since damages can be tripled in antitrust laws, they could be on the hook for over $14 billion. The NFL is going to appeal this verdict. But currently, Sunday ticket, $87 a month, $349 for the season if you buy it all in one. No way or no doubt the price of Sunday ticket is and has been too high.
Oh, no doubt. I'm a consumer. I think it's too high. Yeah, I want to make you happy, Stormy. I know it's too high.
What are we? Yeah, come on, NFL, be better. Help some people out here. That is a really interesting conversation, though, that we should get into at some point here. We're going to hit the break. Harry Gagnon is going to join us coming up next. He's got some NFL futures plays, and rumor has it the Giants are involved again. We got a big New York day.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love VSiN.com. All the great betting tools and content available on a daily basis, including best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts and guests. You got betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting guides, and more, including right now on the homepage, daily best bets in Major League Baseball, the WNBA, Wimbledon, and more. If you haven't checked out VSiN.com yet, what are you doing? Now's the time. And if you become a VSiN.com subscriber today, you'll also get our all-new NFL betting guide. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back in to the Lombardi Line. And speaking of the NFL, I know our next guest is locked and loaded with some NFL futures already as we get set for the season. It's July, so training camps are upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Harry Gagnon joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the Against All Odds podcast. We like to call him our international betting man of mystery. But Harry, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
What's up, guys? Yeah, listen, I know it's July, but yeah, we can talk about football, right? We can talk over-unders on the season, right? We can do that.
Well, July's football season, Harry. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. We're going to start practicing in a couple weeks. I mean, You could smell the grass getting cut. I mean, we're in football. We're going to have a game. We'll have something going on. There'll be practices somewhere in this month. So we're in football season. Yes.
Sounds great. I can't wait. Can't wait. I got plenty of doing my study and doing my homework. I got a few. I got a few unders. I actually like here, guys. Let's see if you guys like them too.
Yeah.
Let's start off with. I will start off with. How about the Bills? The Bills are sitting at 10.5. I'm going to lay the big juice at 150. I'm going to go under 10.5 here. They had to do everything in their power, guys, last year to get to 11 wins. They had to win the 5 in a row to close the season out, 6 of the last 7 to get to that number of 11. I love Josh Allen, but they're down the 2 best touchdown producers in Diggs and Davis. They're gone. And on defense as well, Pro Bowlers Jordan Poyer and Trevion White are also gone. I know White's been banged up 2 years in a row. He hasn't been really productive, but still, a lot of question marks on the Bills team. And again, like I said, took everything for them to get to 11 this year. I'm going under 10.5.
So where do you think they stack up in the AFC East then? Because they're obviously the favorite to repeat once again. How do you view not only the Bills, but then like the Jets and the Miami Dolphins, for example?
Well, I'll get to the Jets in a second because I still don't think they're going to do as well as a lot of people think, especially the odds makers. But I do think New England's improved a lot. And let's call Miami what they are. They're a very good regular season team. In the playoffs, they're soft. But this is a team that I think is going to win, finally win the East. I think they have a chance to take the Jets and the Bills down all 4 times. Really going to hurt the totals for the Jets and the Bills. But I think Miami, like I said, very good regular season team, soft in the playoffs, but get it done, put up the numbers during the regular season.
Harry, but they're 4-10 if you take this team under the Mike McDaniels administration, just to play devil's advocate here. They're 4-10 in the last 7 games of the last 2 years. They've won 4 and lost 10. It's not the playoffs that they falter. It's the second half of the season they falter. You're not worried about that? They have to go to Cleveland in the cold. You want 2 in the cold? You betting that? And then if you want to bet them beating the Jets in New York in the cold on the last game of the year? You're not getting my money on that, Harry. There's no chance.
Not doing it, huh, Michael? Well, I just overall think that the Dolphins have the most talent, especially offensively, out of the 4 teams. I think that's going to propel them to finally winning the East. And by the way, I did mention, I like under 9.5 on the Jets. 9.5 on the Jets, and you're getting plus 130. This is a team that is basically cursed. We saw it last year. I think it's fact. The franchise has won 10 games just once since 2011, and they have just 20 total wins in the last 4 years combined. Aaron Rodgers turns 41 this year. And look, over his last 7 years, he's eclipsed more than 28 touchdowns just 2 times. Let's call it what it is. And you know what? Not last year, but the year before, last year in Green Bay, his most turnover season ever. He's not Tom Brady. He's not a miracle worker. I think this team is way overpriced at 9.5 wins. I mean, I think that's ridiculous when you got Lazard and Gibson, who are both had under 25 receptions last year. Now, I know Garrett Wilson had a solid season. But again, they picked up Mike Williams for the Chargers, hoping he can help. But again, that guy can't stay healthy either. Played only 3 games last year. I don't like the Jets' offense. And I don't think Rodgers is going to hold the season.
You're preaching to the choir here, Harry. I'm somebody that took the Jets at plus 135 to miss the playoffs this year. And my thought process, in addition to everything that you were saying, too, is everybody thinks that they're going to exceed expectations and do all these wonderful things because of the talent they have. But I'm just betting on them simply to do what they've done the last 13 straight years, which is miss the playoffs. Like, I'm actually betting on what they have done, you know, instead of what we're hoping to see change. Harry Gagnon joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Go ahead.
Principle alone, you got to go with the under, right? 9.5, you got to get to 10, and you got to lay 160, forget about it. You need the under all day.
We also have another play in here from you. I'm sensing a theme here with the New York area teams, it appears. You also like under on the New York Giants, who we've talked a lot about today because they had episode 1 of the offseason Hard Knocks with the Giants and getting a little behind the curtain scene of what's been going on with Joe Shane and how they made a lot of their decisions this offseason. You like the under 6.5 wins for the Giants there. Why?
Yeah, and you got only 150, another price here, but they went wide receiver in the draft, so that's, you know, giving Daniel Jones one more chance at it, you know, and New York Giants quarterbacks last year combined had 15 touchdown passes. The year before, when they actually beat the Vikings in the playoffs, Daniel Jones, 15 touchdown passes. They don't get it done offensively. They just don't. Now they don't have Saquon anymore. I know they got Singletary from Houston, but he's not Saquon. Saquon at least made the defense honest when he was in the game. I don't think Singletary can do that. This team does not have a good offensive line still. And I just don't think that, well, I don't know where they're going to get the points from offensively. I'm going under again.
Yeah, that one I agree with you. I mean, the fact, for some reason, and I don't know if you watched Hard Knocks, for some reason, there was an air of confidence in Daniel Jones that if we just keep him healthy, we're going to be a really good team. And this, they were what, 1-5, Stormy, when they had him last year? I mean, it wasn't like they were a good team when he was healthy.
No, and they lost McKinney, too, to free agency, who was actually second of the team in tackles, first in picks. Now they got Isaiah Simmons. They need some help, so much help in the secondary. He was drafted as linebacker by the Cardinals 4 years ago. 8th pick overall. Now he's playing safety at 238 pounds for the Giants.
Harry, before we let you go, anything? I know that you are locked and loaded betting just about everything, whether it's Major League Baseball, Euro 2024, whatever it is. Anything else you want to give out before we let you go?
All right, real quick. How about on Saturday? Saturday night, we've got in the Copa Cup, Uruguay taking on Brazil. Total 2.5. Give me under on this one, guys. Look, Brazil has given up at least just one goal in all their matches. But Uruguay, in all their matches, they've given up one goal total. Tons of defense in this matchup. This is going to be a 1-0 final. Give me under 2.5. You got to lay a price at 170, but give that to me. And also, in the Euro Cup, don't sleep on the Swiss. The Swiss, they can take care of England, who was very fortunate. You get plus 140 there. And 13-1 on the Swiss to win the whole thing.
All right, good stuff, Harry. Appreciate your time. Don't work too hard, buddy.
Thank you, Harry.
Thanks, guys.
That's Harry Gagnon. Make sure you check out the Against All Odds podcast. He and Cousin Sal do a great job, and follow him on X at AAO Harry. I like when we have a little bit of dissension, though. We need the back and forth every now and then, because we can't just be the Giants haters club today. We need a little bit of, you know, Miami Dolphins love every now and then here on the program.
Well, I just think, to me, look, Miami, you're betting on them. Are they going to get Tua done, right? Tua says he wants a fair market deal. What does that mean? Does that mean he wants $53 million, or are they not offering him enough and guaranteed money? You know, and if that's the case, right? Because all these deals look different. Like, all these deals look different in the year one. They look different in year two. But when you get to year three and year four, they all look around the same. And they all have about the same guarantee. And I'm sure Miami's worried about a quarterback who's got durability issues. And he's got some issues in terms of, now he's gone back to his regular size, which he got hurt in. So I can't buy into Miami, especially when they're 4-10. And, you know, if you talk to anybody who was there last year from the Fangio regime, I mean, there's no management style. There's no people really kind of skeptical about what goes on in the building. You know, you could see it wearing on the team as the year goes on. So, and then they've got the Tyreek Hill thing. Like, Hill's going to make them do something. And, he's going to ask for what he thinks he deserves. And I don't think he's just going to take a little bump. I think he's going to want to be the highest paid receiver, because he knows the value he brings to the team.
Well, and that's such a big piece, too, about, as we tie back to the Tua Tagovailoa contract of it all, I'm very curious to see ultimately what he's going to get. Yes, he's made the statement the market is the market, but clearly the team, as they've tried to go through and figure out how they're going to get a deal done, they're not offering him what the market has been right now. Even like Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff, he's not in that wheelhouse in terms of the offer that has been made so far, according to all of the reports that have been out there. It's going to be really interesting to follow. We're going to hit the break here real quickly. When we come back, we're doing our storm warning a day early today. A couple things that I'm very passionate about on this Wednesday. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best yet with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. This thing is jam-packed with everything you need to know To be more informed ahead of this NFL season, we've got in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each and every one, new quarterback and head coach breakdown, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus future bets from our VSiN experts, including, of course, all those great awards markets, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, the list goes on. Whether you're a season better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get your copy now. That's VSIN.com/guide.
My favorite time of the week. I'm glad we moved it to Wednesday. I'm not going to be here tomorrow to celebrate the birth of our nation. So it makes me happy to have some storm warnings coming in. And let's start off with, you went last night to the T-Mobile Arena and you wanted to experience Caitlin Clark. And I want to get your feedback about what you witnessed when 20,000 people saw this young lady play basketball.
Well, apparently I wasn't alone in wanting to go see her yesterday because it was a massive crowd. I was actually like late for tip off because there were so many cars as I was trying to park. The traffic was so ridiculous. But if anybody was concerned that, hey, this Caitlin Clark phenomenon, it's dying down. No, the Caitlin Clark fever is alive and well, okay? Everybody is all about this girl. We think about T-Mobile Arena, a venue that has hosted Stanley Cup final games, UFC 300, marquee basketball tournaments. You know what was the most attended sporting event in that building? A sub-500 Indiana Fever team visiting the Las Vegas Aces last night. 20,366 people in the house. It was the most fans in attendance at a WNBA game since 1999, fifth most in league history. Yes, the Aces have been the league leader in attendance the last couple of years, but for them to have to move from Mandalay Bay, Michelob Ultra Arena, to put that game in T-Mobile because there was so much demand for it, and while, of course, the Aces fans were there in full force, even though Caitlin Clark had a bad shooting day, like assist master flash for sure. She was awesome from that standpoint, as she always is. Shooting day was off. Anytime this girl did anything good, it was ooh, it was ah, it was cheering for her, even though it's a road game. Again, if anybody was concerned that maybe the hysteria was going to die off and that people weren't going to be into the WNBA, people weren't going to care about Caitlin Clark at the WNBA level, I can just say, having experienced it in person, I'm sorry, you were dead wrong. And congrats to her, by the way, and Angel Reese is the first rookies in a decade to both make the WNBA All-Star team. Pretty cool.
Love it. I love it. And let's stick at the T-Mobile Arena. Yes. Your favorite team that plays there, the Las Vegas Knights. Now, free agency in the NBA has dominated, and unfortunately, you've taken a lot of questions to me about the 76ers. So I'd like to ask you questions about your Golden Knights and all the movement that has happened based on the free agency in the NHL and the draft.
So I could probably go the whole segment on this, so I'm going to try not to ramble.
Go,
but I want to get on my soapbox for a minute here.
I mean,
yes.
Look, it's you let me ramble about Joel Embiid being on the ground 87 times. So why not? Can't you ramble every now and then? Come on.
I appreciate you, Michael. Yeah, this summer could end up being one of the most transformative in Golden Knights history. After a first-round playoff exit this past year, the Golden Knights earlier this week, saw nine players on the roster that, you know, guys that won a Stanley Cup just a year ago, who are out the door, core pieces, leaders, gone. And for our football audience, there's only 23 players on an NHL roster, just 20 that dress. So essentially, this is like half the team that is out the window. And it's a list headlined by an original misfit and the Conn Smythe winner from that Stanley Cup final, Jonathan Marchessault, which I think hits particularly close to home for fans and people by like myself. You think about the seven-year history of this franchise, and I don't know if there's a player that embodies more what this organization is about than Jonathan Marchessault, who was a cast-off from Florida, who comes to Vegas and ends up becoming a household name. He is the franchise leader in games played, goals, assists, points, playoff points, game-winning goals. The list goes on and on. Thought he was going to be a Golden Knight for life. Now he's a Nashville Predator. Just like, you know, we talked about the Giants earlier. Saquon Barkley wanted to be a Giant for life. Now he's a Philadelphia Eagle. All this to say, for as much as the fans and myself that are close to the team, love the team, are passionate about it, this is a business. This is what happens. And ultimately, the Nashville Predators are making a big swing, and they want to win. They were willing to offer Jonathan Marchessault something ultimately that the Vegas Golden Knights weren't able to with this salary cap structure and with a five-year term that Vegas and general manager Kelly McCrimmon weren't going to give. And I understand that this is a fan base because of the history that this team made in year one, and the connection that the community has to it, and the fact that they did win a Stanley Cup in such a young history, right? You are so tied and connected to all of these players. But this is nothing new. This has happened with the Golden Knights every single year that they lose marquee players that we love. Marc-Andre Fleury, Nate Schmidt, Ryan Reeves, the list goes on and on. Chandler Stephenson is also out the door this year. He's a guy that turned his career around, who was a fourth liner with the Washington Capitals that turned into a top line center with this team. He earned a 7-year, $6.25 million deal that the Golden Knights couldn't offer him. Good for him. He outplayed his contract and secured a bag elsewhere that the Golden Knights ultimately couldn't give him. And I just feel, you know, Michael, you're a former NFL GM. I feel bad to an extent for general manager Kelly McCrimmon, who's given so much grief about this, when ultimately it's the business side of things. It happens each and every year, every team in every league. Turnover happens, but you know what? Stanley Cup odds, Vegas Golden Knights, they were 16-1 last week. You know what they still are? 16-1. Because Kelly McCrimmon also, each and every year, seems to put a roster together that can deliver. So I believe in Kelly McCrimmon. I know he'll figure things out and it'll be fine.
Well, that was my follow-up question to you is, after the dust has settled, where are you with this team? Forget the odds. Where are you think this team can be today, and what do they need to do moving forward?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, this past season, mid-season, they made some acquisitions in a Tomas Hertl, for example, who, if they were to have made that deal this week, it would have been considered a big splash, and wow, look at the Golden Knights going for it again. But because it happened in season, it's kind of pushed to the side a little bit. They're really good about tinkering with the roster and doing the salary cap gymnastics and being able to find pieces and always make a splash. It sucks that so many guys are gone. I know. It pains me. As somebody who covered the team just 3 years ago, there's literally only 9 guys left that I even know. So it sucks. It's hard, but I think that the Golden Knights are going to be good. They're 16-1, like I mentioned, in the Stanley Cup odds. They're 8-1 in the Western Conference. They're the second shortest shot in the Pacific Division. I think they're going to be just fine.
Okay, let's shift gears to college football. Utah is now in the Big 12, and I think Utah has always played like they've been in the Big 10, even though they were in the Pac-12. Tell me what your read is on Utah as they enter the Big 12 this year with a 25-year-old quarterback and Cam Rising still playing for him.
Yeah, it's the 7th year of college football. How insane is that? Huge fan. I'm betting Utah everything. I love everything that there is to love about the Utah Utes in 2024. And let's start at the conference level, as you referenced. They're going from a league in the Pac-12 that this past year, right, was top to bottom, you could argue, one of the best, if not the best, in college football. Now they go to the Big 12, which is significantly weaker. The toughest games on their schedule are at Oklahoma State and at UCF. They avoid some of the tougher teams in the league, like Kansas State and Kansas. According to ESPN's FPI, Utah's schedule ranks 72nd in difficulty nationally. The last 5-ish seasons, they were among the top 25 in the hardest schedules in all of college football. Now let's throw in the fact that they still went 8-4 last year despite being decimated with injuries. You mentioned their quarterback Cam Rising. He didn't play the entire year coming back from a torn ACL. He's going to be back. So many talented pieces on this roster are back. Their defense is going to be elite. To me, they have one of the best coaches in college football in Kyle Whittingham, who's been there forever. Also, you look at the home field advantage. This is something that producer Elliot, myself and John Goulet were talking about yesterday with this Utah team. Home field advantage in Rice-Eccles Stadium, super underrated. And I think it's because it's like a stadium with its capacity 50 to 60,000. It's not like Texas A&M where you've got 100,000 strong, but one of the best student sections in college football. I've been in that building for big games. It is deafening. They were 6-1 at home last year, lone loss to then number 8 Oregon in October, where the Utes were on their third string quarterback. In fact, that's their only home loss in the last 3 full seasons. They're 18-1 in that time. They're 27-2 the last 5 years at home. How their season one win total is 9.5 is beyond me. I cannot find more than 2 losses on their schedule, if that. They're plus 320 to win the Big 12, plus 120 just to make the Big 12 title game, which I hate to say, it just feels like free money based on their schedule. If they stay healthy, they're winning them. They're getting to the big game. Plus 220 to make plus 220 to make the college football playoff, Michael. I think it would actually be a massive disappointment for the Utah Utes if they're not in the college football playoff. Everything is set up for them to have success this year.
Yeah, I would say that's right. I think Cam Rising is a good player.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is a guy that doesn't come with a lot of, the intangibles. And, look, I know that, you know, that Kyle Whittingham may retire and they've got Stanley in place. I think that's his name, right,
Morgan
to replace
Scally.
Him. But to Scally, I'm sorry. But to me, this is a tough-minded – this is a Big Ten team that plays – it's going to be playing in the Big 12. It'll be fun to watch.
They're tough, physical. The defense is going to be awesome. And Cam Rising, to your point, in his 2 years as a starter, 46 passing touchdowns, 13 interceptions. I don't hate a 45-1 long shot on him to throw in for the Heisman ring as well if you're looking for a pizza money play. Okay, that's our storm warning. We're coming back, hour two of the Lombardi Line next. But thank you for letting me vent. I needed that.